Okay, we started 2 Peter last week, and just as a quick review from what we covered last week, we know that Peter was martyred within 2 years of writing 1 Peter. So we know that obviously 2 Peter had to be within that next 2 year time period, and still there's a difference in flavor here. There's not a desperation. you don't necessarily see that kind of goodbye that Paul gives in 2 Timothy, but at the same time he knows it's coming, and he changed. There's still the same theme. We start off here with the same theme that we had in 1 Peter, which is spiritual growth. But one thing he does deal with some issues in this, some problems, and really. It's really problems from within the church. It's either a lack of growth of the people or false teaching within the church. And those are two issues that he deals with strongly. And then as we headed in though to the first chapter there, a couple of things that that impact us as with the things we're going to talk about today is that Peter talks about here in verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. And we needed to get some understanding of that word knowledge. In the Greek, it's epignosis, and it is a... and you can take all of my Greek pronunciation with a grain of salt. So I'm just going to say something, though. So, or a block of salt. Thank you, Ken. That's a full knowledge. Discernment, recognition. It's an experiential knowledge. So, and he's going to use two different words for knowledge as we go through here. And this first one, though, is that epignosis. It's a full experiential knowledge of Jesus. You can think of this similar to the branch being connected to the vine. That close connection, relationship, abiding in Christ, spending time there, over time spending time there, and knowing Christ. And there's going to be a result from that. There's going to be something that happens in your life as a result of that. And so that is, it's a powerful word. And so he's going to use that repeatedly through this first chapter. And one of the things that he's going to tell us here is that he has deposited everything within us, if we are believers, that he's given us everything we need to escape the chains of sin and death and to live the life that he's called us to live. It's a challenging, this Peter, he just has this ability, this gifting he throws down these challenges on us, but he interweaves encouragement within it. It's more of a, this is possible, but this is going to be hard, but this is possible. And that's kind of the flavor that you get from Peter. And, I shared a little bit last week. Well, we talked about how we can participate with the divine nature. We did some review of stuff we've covered in depth before from Galatians, from Romans, 2 Corinthians, Colossians, about being hidden in Christ and about surrender and submission to Him. And one of the things that I talked about last week was when I think about the past, and remember I talked about a certain time in my life when working for the Forest Service in Idaho, and in this opportune place of about 50 people in this camp, this work camp, and being in a place, in a position where I really could have made a difference in a lot of people's lives. And it wasn't that I wasn't a believer, but there was something missing there in that I was too busy with my own desires and plans. So I think back to that time, what if I had pursued with abandon God's purpose and His desires rather than my own? What would have happened in that situation? And as I come through this, I really had this desire, this commitment to never let that happen again. And I don't want that ever to happen again where I waste my life. And it's not that I was out into sin. It's just that my focus was not on God's purpose and I missed some opportunities. And we read the words to the song, Knowing You, Jesus, and we changed the words to that a little bit. Epignosis, You, Jesus. That and it fits perfect with that song. If you go back through by Graham Kendrick, we won't read the words to that again, but it does talk about the kind of the essence of what it means to know Christ. So we'll move on to part B on your outline on the part on the back of your bulletin and the foundation for growth. So, you know, we discovered something with Peter. His style, the way he writes, you know, certainly the equally anointed, equally the Word of God as everything that Paul wrote and the other writers of the Bible wrote. Just there's different styles. And you know, Paul, when he writes, sometimes you can struggle with his writing because of all the detail. And he backs it up and he's like, it's like a lawyer just setting forth the case of why this is true and how it works and the history of it. And it's challenging, but it's all kind of laid out and you just have to work your way through it. With Peter, he just throws out a statement on the table like, His divine power has given us everything we need. And you go, whoa, wait a minute. Let me think about that before we move on. And that's the way that Peter writes. So you can take, and I challenged you last week, to take two statements and meditate on them. And one was, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And the other was to participate in the divine nature. Those are heavy duty statements. If this was Paul, it would have taken 6 chapters to cover that. This was Peter, 2 sentences. There's a value in that. There's a value in meditation and let the Holy Spirit make the fullness of that understanding. And you can look at other verses to bring in understanding. But so what I'm doing here is I'm setting you up to tell you we're going to cover one verse today. but it's I believe it's because of the weightiness of what he's saying here. It's a small package, but there is a depth to it. And so we're going to try to get a hold of that today. So don't get me wrong. It's very practical. It's extremely practical. In fact, we like lists, don't we? I like lists. You tell me exactly what you want me to do, and I will just go do it. I don't have to think. I'll just go do it. I like that. So Peter's going to make us think, but he's just going to give us this practical list. These things. Okay, this is what you need to grow in. And so we're going to look at each of those words on that list and see and try to understand exactly what it is that's expected of us. But before we can get to that, there is a foundation to it. And we've already talked about some of that foundation. And so I'm going to draw on a few analogies today. Now, analogies can be weak, particularly mine. They can be weak if you don't think about them. If you go on to the scripture and you think it through, then it becomes valuable. Just the analogy on its own is weak. So I'm going to throw a few of these out at you so we can try to understand what Peter's talking about today. Now, I can take some comfort in this. There is another man that used many analogies. His name was Paul. And if you look through there, you see analogies about farmers, about athletes, about the military in general, about soldiers in specific. He uses a lot of analogies. So I'm in good company. And verse 5 starts off. For this very reason, make every effort. For this very reason. And this refers back to those things I asked you to meditate on. Remember? Everything we need, participate in the divine nature. He's given us everything we need. It reflects back to that where he says, for this very reason, those things we've just talked about. So, here's my analogy. Is there anybody here that's going to be participating in the 100 meter Olympic trials? Anybody here going to be participating in that? Josh, I know I've heard you were a decent hurdler in the day. So I'm going to just assume that there's nobody here that's planning on participating in the Olympic trials for the 100 meters. I won't be going. So, if Josh was to say, Steve, you know what? I'm going to move to Florida, and I'm going to join the Florida Track Club. That's a pretty elite track club, if you don't know. And I'm going to train for the Olympic trials, 100 meters. What do you think about that? Now the thing, I would say, Josh, I don't recommend it. It's not worth the sacrifice because you're not going to make it. Sorry. But you do not have the genetic potential to run under 10 seconds in 100 meters. There's nobody in this room. I'm going on a limb here. There's nobody on this room that can run the 100 meters or even has the ability to train the rest of your life. The highest elite methods of training, and that you're going to run under 10 seconds in 100 meters. Does everybody agree with that? You do not have the genetic potential to do that. I know some of you may like to think differently, but you do not. And so it would be a foolish thing if you were to make the sacrifices. You'd have to put your life on hold, wouldn't you, to train for something like that. Yeah, and like I said, you probably have to move where there's other people training and where there's good coaching and join the Florida Track Club and go down to Orlando and, you know, really get into this thing. And you'd have to leave your family and you'd. So I'm going to say, don't go. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Don't do that. Don't leave. Now, if there was somebody in here that had the potential to run 10 seconds or under in the 100 meters, I would say, you know what? We're behind you. I think you should go down there and train like you've never trained before. I think you should work. I think you should make sacrifices and you should take even risk to fulfill your potential in this thing. Go do it. We are behind you. You know, do you remember Peter's view of salvation? You remember what we called it? A tsunami of a salvation. It is overwhelming. It is out of this world what he has done in your salvation. You see, God has put within you the potential for godliness. He has put it in you. You have, that's what we were just told there. You can participate in the divine nature. He has changed your very spiritual, genetic makeup. You now have the ability. If you were not a believer, if you did not have the Holy Spirit living in you, if you have not experienced salvation, then I wouldn't go through these things with you. Why wouldn't I? It would be ridiculous. It'd be like moving to Florida and joining the Florida Track Club and training for 100 meters. You don't have the potential. But if you are saved, then you have this potential. Your genetic makeup has been transformed. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have the righteousness of Christ. You have the freedom to obey. And you have a new nature. All these things we know are true. You have everything you need for life and godliness. You can read it for yourself. Verse 3. You have everything you need for life and godliness and grace to do all that God has called you to do. For this very reason then, train hard. Make every effort. Make no excuses for how you are living. Sell all your possessions and move to Florida and train. It'll be worth it. You have that in you now. That's why you train with everything you have. That's why you give your all to grow. It's because you can. You have been given that ability. You have gold medal potential in you. Now, I know what somebody's thinking right now. That sounds a little Joel Osteen-ish, Steve. And it does sound a little bit like that, but you are totally misunderstanding me if that's your thought. So here's my disclaimer. Do not misunderstand me, please. I know you could. I've heard some crazy stuff. You could misunderstand. I've heard statements like that. But let me tell you quickly, this is not about building up your self-esteem. Are you ready for this? If you're a sensitive person, you might want to plug your ears. You are a sinner. You put Jesus on the cross. At your core, you are self-focused and selfish. Am I building your self-esteem now? That is you. And that is me. Now I could go on and I could speak of your lust. I could speak of your past sin, your anger, how you've broken the Ten Commandments, and how God's wrath is justly, was justly, coming down on you. So, I'm not talking about building up your self-esteem and telling you you can do it. You know, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you God has put within you the righteousness of Christ, and you have no excuse to not live for Him. You have no excuse to not sell all you have, give your all to Him, surrender all, and live fully for Him, because He's given you the spiritual genetic makeup to do it. And He's even given you the desire. He's given you everything you need. So the attitude here is really the opposite of self-esteem. It's recognizing your sin and your weakness, your self-focus. And it's realizing that even after you've been given all this, even after you've seen it, that you still need to be reminded of your weakness. Think of Paul. My strength is perfected in your weakness, he was told. That he still was learning the lessons of his weakness, that he needed to rely on God. Learn how to rest and abide in Christ and be conformed to His image more and more. So, that was my disclaimer. So are we clear on that? While this is not self-esteem, it is also not self-pity or staying there in your weakness. What did Paul say? When I am weak, then I am strong. It's seeing your weakness clearly. If you want to grow in these things, you've got to go down before you go up. You really have to see your absolute weakness, your inability, your sin, and cry out to God in your weakness. That's where you have to go first. So, come train with us. Come train with us. We can say that, like the Florida Tri Club. We can invite, come train with us. You have within you the ability. Paul said, endure hardship with us like a good soldier. We who know our own weakness, but we epignosis Jesus, who has given us everything we need, and we must continue in our epignosis of Him. Think, abide. That now we're getting to the foundation of growth. And even the starting point of verse 5, He has given to us. Verse 5 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness, add to your faith. Do you realize that God has put a measure of faith in you? And now I was going to take a bunny trail and study that, but we're not going to right now. He has put a measure of faith in you. But this faith requires testing and refining and strengthening and practice. Paul said, train yourself to be godly in 1 Timothy 4:7. And this right now is part of our training. I'm trying to set you up here that growth is not painless. It's not painless. It's not easy. But you have already been given what you need to do it. Now, I know there are many of us that are willing to hurt physically to get things done. You know, whether that's working out, whether it's going on a diet, whether it's something on our job, or even going out and shoveling snow. We're willing to hurt physically to get what we want. Whether that's better health, the better physique, or stronger, whatever it is. We're willing to hurt to get that. Yet, we tend to want spiritual growth pain-free. That tends to be the attitude of the church. That we want spiritual growth pain-free, and we quit at the first hard repetition. We give up. We get discouraged. But see, we don't understand God's method and how He works with us. It's as if this spiritual growth and productiveness in the kingdom was supposed to be easy. Because I'm going to refer back to what Ken talked about last week. Because I name it and claim it. And you say to me, oh, that's not our theology. We don't believe that. And I say to you, sometimes the evidence says different. It says that that is what we believe. We do have that misunderstanding. Then why let a little failure discourage you? Why let a little trial knock you down and defeat you? It's a spiritual workout. is meant to strengthen you, or the discipline or the sacrifice required that sets us back, or even the temptation that comes our way. So you see where we're going here, right? We're about to get into this list. We're going to look at these things specifically of how we need to grow, what we need to grow in, what fruit needs to be born in our lives if we're going to be productive, what's expected of us. But first, there's a foundation that Peter has laid here first. Now, even the temptations that come our way, God will use to prepare us. Think about an overwhelming temptation that has come to you. Now, we know that this is within God's permission. Let's say temptation of selfish gain, anger, resentment, self-focus, pride, self-pity in a trial. Do you see it's going to take a rugged faith to overcome a temptation like that? A tested faith. And the very struggle will strengthen your faith if you are willing to struggle with it. Bearing abundant fruit is not a given in the Christian life. Your faith must be strengthened if you would bear abundant fruit. Faith is foundational to growth, to fruit bearing, which is what most of these attributes we're going to look at. Most of these could be, you could put these under the column of fruit bearing. But they are specific things we are to be growing in. Look down to verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you notice back up in verse 5 again, where he says, make every effort to add. In the New Testament times, this word add was used. In fact, when they were going to put on in the Roman culture, and they were going to put on a play, they were going to do some elaborate thing, they would select a citizen, probably a wealthy citizen, to pay for the production. Now, that wasn't just like a tax. It was kind of an honor. And so the common thing to do is that they would do more than anybody thought or expected. Probably so they could look good and that, but still, that was the word. They would add to it. It would be overflowing, abundant, lavish is what they would do. And that's the same word that is used here. It means to make a lavish provision. And then following, to make every effort, is intense, focused, and sacrificial. To make every effort, it has to do with discipline and sacrifice and commitment. And the first attribute that he goes into here, so that's how he's setting us up again here. This is the preparation to go into these. The first attribute is an attribute of Christ himself. It's gonna be goodness. So now there's some other moral excellence, I think, is one translation. Virtue is another translation. But let's look at it. Up in verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His very own glory and goodness. So it's the same word that's used of Jesus, same Greek word used of Jesus is what we're called to in the very first virtue that we look at. So before we get into a description of what goodness or virtue or moral excellence, or even sometimes the word is just translated pure excellence. Doesn't even have moral excellence in front of it. Just excellence. Before we get into that, let's look at another view of where we're headed here. Let's look down in verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want that, I just have trouble with your salvation if you don't want that. If you want that, then you want these other things in your life. You want to make every effort. You believe that you can participate in the divine nature. You're willing to go through the struggle to have these things as a part of your life. A good picture of this increasing measure, overflowing, is an artesian well. You know, an artesian well, a lot of times the source is higher than the outlet. And so it has a continual source. If you've ever seen the water just bubbling out of the ground, if it's an artesian well, it has a little bit of pressure on it and it bubbles up. And it's the source of the water is a little bit higher and it puts pressure on it and it has this continual flow. And that, it kind of reminds me of this verse in John 7, 37 to 39. Let's go there real quick. And we've gone to this verse often in the past. John 7, 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So this word "add to" here, there's a overflowing abundance that is indicated here, and there's going to be a result of believing and having this overflowing fruit in our lives. We are to overflow refreshment to those around us. It's like another analogy. If you have a farmer and he tells his helper to put 2 buckets of water in the trough every day. That's what these particular animals need to drink. So the farmer checks on him and the thing's never full. It's never has enough water in it. And he goes to watch the guy get the water. So he gets the bucket and he dips it in and he fills it up, but it's just like an inch or two below the top, and he dumps it in. He says, that's not a full bucket. A full bucket is when it's overflowing. When it's overflowing, and then you pour it in. And we are to be over full and overflowing to those around us, like the tree bearing fruit. Who gets the benefit of the fruit? Who's the fruit for? The fruit's not for the tree. It's for the refreshment of others. If you think about this word goodness, just for a minute, we won't go into great detail here. It is virtue, which is one translation of it. It's excellence, which is another translation of it. Moral excellence, which is another translation of it. It's also the power of a thing. Now listen carefully to this. It may not make sense to you right off the bat. If I was to choose a word here and looking up in Webster's and try to find the right word to match, I would choose the word virtue. That matches better than any of the other words when you look them up. It matches the Greek word a little bit better, in my opinion. You look up the word virtue in the dictionary, and it has all those things we just said, and then it says the power of a thing, manly strength and courage, manifestation of divine power and goodness and excellence. And that's the meaning of the word. That the power of a thing, overflowing, its strength. It's not taking the easy way is the reason it calls it that strength. That's the excellence, the moral excellence. It's not taking the easy way, it's taking the right way. And that word captures all of that. So, for example, do you see within yourself a complete lack of that kind of goodness as a non-believer? There is not that kind of goodness. That type, that definition of goodness, the kind that we just described, that's your weakness, but the goodness of Jesus has been put in you. That's the goodness that is to overflow from you. But sometimes, as Peter has alluded to here, make every effort. If it was just happened automatically, why would you have to make every effort? Sometimes there's a struggle to surrender. And making every effort to see the goodness of Christ begins to overflow if you are willing to go through the spiritual struggle. We have to be careful. We can fool ourselves. And you are not immune, and I'm not immune to fooling ourselves. We can think that we have this goodness coming from us, when maybe we just have a naturally easygoing personality or something. This is where iron sharpens iron comes in. It keeps you honest. When you have people in your life that are willing to give you feedback. Using goodness as an example. You know, I want to be around you. Your excellence and your powerful virtue impact me. But in the same thing, same fashion, I'm following Jesus too. And I want you to be around me. Because the same thing should be happening in my life. And you can be influenced by the overflow of goodness from me. And I can be influenced by the overflow of the goodness from you. By faith and willingness to focus and struggle through, we can have this goodness of Christ overflow from us. It's manly, it's strong, it's courage, because it is not taking the path of least resistance. It's a willingness to yield to the Spirit and not to the flesh. So think about the impact just for a minute. See, I want also to be around a non-believer and have the goodness of Jesus draw them. And what's even better is, if I'm around you and you're around me and we're overflowing the goodness of Jesus, we want a non-believer to be around us, to see and to taste the goodness of Christ. Go to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the Christ life, by faith, is seen in you. The goodness of Jesus is seen in you. And the truth of the gospel will take root when it is shared. If the goodness of Christ has drawn someone, then when the gospel is shared, it will take root. Just as I look back in the past and I see things that, boy, I wish they'd have been different. But I also can look back to the past, and I believe that even in my early days of following Christ, that God in His mercy let me taste of this, what we're talking about right here. Possibly to build my faith even before there was maturity in my walk. There was a small group of guys, and I know you guys have heard these stories before, but a small group of guys, when I was living up in Wyoming, and young guys struggling together, but spurring one another on daily to follow Jesus. I don't mean we saw each other on Sunday or something. We were struggling. There was failure. But there was this daily spurring one another on, that one day I would see the goodness of Jesus in one of my brothers. And maybe the next day he would see it in me. But you see, that did something. It multiplied what was going on. And if someone came in to the group of young guys giving themselves for where they were at that time, they're all to Jesus and following him, willing to struggle, in the battle, spurring one another on as iron sharpens iron, one sharpens another. And when somebody came into the fellowship of that group, a non-believer, and if they stuck around a little while, in that time period of my life, they always came to know God. I think God just did something special. It's beyond where we were as a group. It was beyond where we were. We didn't have that level. We were struggling with basic things, but we were in the battle. And we were spurring one another on, and the goodness of Jesus was seen even in us. And when somebody came into that little group, they came to know Jesus. I didn't recognize it at the time for what it is. But when I look back and I see guy after guy after guy coming to know God, it's like, whoa, God was doing something. He was doing something in us and through us. So whose benefit is this fruit? This overflowing, this growth, who is it for? Is the fruit for the tree? No. It refreshes others. But the tree does get the joy of it because it gets to fulfill its very purpose and calling. And of course, there is the eternal reward mentioned in verse 11. You should begin to see this in a church. This is where a church should move to. Where we are overflowing the nature and the You see, sometimes even when it's just us, when it's just two or three of us, and we are overflowing the nature and the character of Christ, and we're spurring one another on, and we're praying, you might say, oh, that group's inward focused. Oh, no, we're preparing. We're being equipped, and we're equipping one another to do what we're called to do and to bear fruit. Our fruit bearing is growing, and we are receiving the benefit of it. But then we bring in those that do not know God, and they will see something they have never seen before. They'll see the goodness and the virtue of Jesus among us, and they will be drawn to Him, and some may run. But those that are hungry will be drawn to Him, and they will be saved. That is, I am convinced. It became in my immaturity, I began to think that this is just the way it happens. People just get saved. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes making every effort. But hey, this is just the way it works. People come in, they get saved. And they get discipled, and they begin to do the same thing. I thought in my immaturity that's just how things were supposed to work. He does do that. We should begin to see that. We don't have to worry that much about, oh, it's just us though, or there's no non-believers. We're moving there. But we have to be iron sharp. You remember I talked about those heart-to-heart relationships? This is where they go. This is what happens. How do you know you're overflowing the goodness? You might be fooling yourself. We talked about in the men's group, you might have a quarrelsome heart and nobody corrects you and nobody tells you. And you're not overflowing the goodness. You think because you read your Bible this morning that you're overflowing the goodness of Jesus. But we're not seeing it. You have to have those kind of relationships that people are willing to tell you and communicate and interact and spur you on. And spur what? You can't do it by yourself. Doesn't work. Overflowing Jesus to one another, building partnerships, and bringing others into it. They will see Jesus. Do you want this? I mean, there's a price to be paid. So count the cost before you build a wall. Before you commit to something, you should count the cost. Do you want this? Then believe, verses 3 and 4, and do, verse 5. Let's look at it again. Do you want this? Believe, verses 3 and 4, and do, verse 5. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, our epignosis of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. I hope inside you're jumping up and down. You may participate in the divine nature. You can overflow the goodness of Jesus. Believe it. You have the spiritual genetic potential to do it. It's been put in you. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then do this, verse 5. Yeah, for this reason. Because we have scouted you out. And we have seen you have the potential. You can do this if you are saved. For this very reason, these things are true. Then make every effort. Use whatever discipline you have to use. Whatever sacrifice you have to sacrifice. Whatever doing away with possessions or things or hobbies, whatever it takes. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Whose goodness? The goodness of Jesus. Virtue. Courage. Strong. The power. Divine attributes flowing out of you. And to goodness knowledge. And then we won't cover any more of those today. We'll continue down this list. But first, we need to get some understanding of the foundation that this list is built upon. I think first it takes seeing, you need to look at a word like goodness and see how that you do not have that. You think about your natural man. And if you think you have that, then I'm sorry, you have a ways to go. You have some really hard times ahead of you to learn that you do not have that. We need to get some understanding of the foundation. And part of the underlying purpose of the information here is motivation. Do you see that? You see how Peter is challenging us? You are actually to overflow these attributes, bear this fruit of Christ. But then he motivates you. This should be, as we look through this, it should be extremely challenging, but it also should be extremely motivating to us. So, this is not earning your salvation. It's not earning and making your own sanctification, but it is living up to your potential. And it's being willing to train hard, to make every effort, whatever it takes. Because you've been given the spiritual, genetic potential to do it. It's there. If it wasn't there, if you're not saved, I'm not asking you to do these things. I would not do that. I wouldn't even be so bold as to, I could not think of this on my own to think that you could participate or I could participate in the divine nature. I would never think that up. But it's there. And it's true.